Hey, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
How's it going today?
You know what? Today is Monday, and we both have the day off, and that is a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. I'm very excited. Should we just go to your stuff first?
Well, I mean, but hold on. Yeah. Let me just say it. So I have a couple things. Most importantly, I have a new notebook. So there's no traumatic experiences I had to flip through before I started taking notes on this episode.
No journeys to the past.
No journeys to the past, Anastasia. But you know what? I did have someone reach out to me, and I was so disappointed in myself because someone reached out that I had missed a musical theater reference. And I know I miss musical theater references often. I mean, there's probably a ton of them, but this one's very important. So the actress, I don't know if it's Keisha or Keisha. I want to say the actress, Keisha Lewis, who plays Laura, one of Rock's teachers, was the original Asaka in Once on This Island, who, if you are unfamiliar with the show, go check it out. She sings Mama Will Provide. Most recently, the role was played by Alex Newell. I saw the most recent production. I didn't see the original because it was in the early 90s and I was not old enough to take the bus to New York by myself. But the most recent revival was also fantastic. I think
that I wrote something to the effect of, when Circle in the Square Theater was built, they didn't know that they were building it for this production. Like, it was outstanding.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful, beautiful show. And I was so disappointed in myself that I didn't know that. And I was talking to our friend Tom last night on the phone, and he was like, well, it's probably because you're thinking of the Tony Awards when it was Lilias White. And I was like, you know what? I think you're right.
That's nice. That was a nice out for you also. That was nice.
Thank you. Yeah, because I thought for sure he was going to be like, you didn't recognize her. Like, he was going to slap me too, you know? But however, I should have recognized her in general because she's been in so many things. She also originated Trix in The Drowsy Chaperone. I'm Trix, the Aviatrix, that part. Uh-huh. And she was in Leap of Faith too, which I didn't see. But anyway, and she's done a ton of things. She was in that Mad About You reboot they did. And wonderful actress. Thank you for calling me out on not recognizing that because I was disappointed in myself.
You're forgiven.
Thank you.
So I sort of have one as we begin, because we have to talk about it before we can talk about the title of this episode, because when we were talking in last week's about this week, I said, excited for next week's episode, Diwali, and I said it a few times, and then as I started to listen to this new episode, I was like, did I say it wrong? Because they all say Diwali. Mm. So when I tell you I spent hours, if anyone knows me about like these little details, I spent so much time on the internet researching. I got whole like linguistic lessons about what different cultures, how they form their letters. The reason why I'd called it Diwali is because, as I mentioned, there was an episode of The Office called Diwali that was written by Mindy Kaling, and she called it Diwali, like it was just sort of how everyone pronounced it. To make a very long story as short as possible, my understanding is that simply because in many cultures, or in certain cultures, there isn't really a differentiation between the W and the V sound. So I think that either one is technically correct, but it is usually called Diwali, which is why in this episode called Diwali, we will call it Diwali.
And with that being said, it's kind of a segue. Like, Mike and I will try to Google interviews with people to hear how they say their names in interviews, yeah, because we know it's important. Like, we want to get these things right. So if we ever do like mispronounce a word or a name, it's because we just couldn't find the stuff.
And legitimately, the first thing that I did was like, how do you pronounce this word? And the first one that came up was Diwali, Diwali, Diwali. And then I clicked on the next one that was like happy, this word. And it was the same person saying happy Diwali, happy Diwali. I'm like, what? Ah. So I did try.
Yeah. And like with words, like there's many people in our lives that we can ask and say like, hey, how would you say this? Or how do you say this? But with someone's specific name, sometimes like we don't know that person. So we can't call them up and be like, how do you say your name?
Correct. Correct. So anyways, there you go. So we are here today to talk about Diwali. It first premiered January 6th, 2022. Woot woot, new year. It was written by Rachna Fruchtbaum. She has written on Fresh Off the Boat and, for me, most importantly, Parks and Recreation, a show that I loved, and directed by an up-and-coming director, Cynthia Nixon. This is her very first thing she's directed for television. I know she's directed some theater before, but welcome to directing in the world of television, Cynthia. I think she does a very, very good job.
And I think she will have a career in the arts.
Yeah, I think that she's going to make it that one. So we're looking out upon Jersey City. I can see Pier 45, which has that little white tent at the end of it, and we're scanning to Hoboken. Now, I did spend probably more time than I need to figuring out exactly where we are.
Perfect.
We're in those glass apartments in Chelsea. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but there's like three glass apartments all right next to each other, right on the river in the Chelsea area.
Okay.
They were kind of a big deal when they were being built, because I want to say like Martha Stewart and Calvin Klein and Nicole Kidman all like bought units in these buildings, and there was kind of a bit of a brouhaha because they weren't built on time. And so I believe that's where we are. That's kind of what it looks like.
When were they built?
They were built while I was in New York. So I want to say like 15 years ago, maybe.
Oh, wow. So before like the High Line.
Oh, yes. Before the High Line.
And Chelsea Market.
It was still kind of, I mean, Chelsea was still a nice neighborhood, but
right.
They were just developing that water area. Like it didn't really have the parks.
But I'm just thinking that far west.
Yeah, very, very far west, right on the river. And there's Anthony's there.
Yeah. And the first thing I noticed about this apartment, and I don't know if this was intentional, you tell me, because you do a little more of like the, I guess, commentary listening. It gave me Big's Funeral vibes.
Oh.
Like this apartment, like the all white space reminded me of like Big's death.
I didn't connect that.
Okay.
I will say that they just wanted it to be light. Mm-hmm. They wanted, because that is the theme of this episode, are seeing things in different lights and how different light might affect you. So they wanted it to be open and bright. They did build this set. They couldn't find an apartment that would work for what they wanted. So this is a built set surrounded by green screen.
Mm.
So all of that background is not real. And we do have the question of like, is it too much light? And she's not sure about living downtown. And I said, I already missed the old apartment.
Yeah, I think it's too much light. And I mean, I thought of that because I guess I live in a studio. So she has a bedroom. But I'm thinking like in a studio, you know, how does she sleep? But also that is a lot of exposure. And there's even those apartments when you walk the High Line that are right facing the High Line that you can see right into. Maybe this is one of those that I'm thinking of. I don't even know. But I have seen people do things that I'm assuming they wanted me to see, but I would not have wanted people to see me do them, you know?
Yeah, I'm into open. I'm into, like, I usually have my, like, drapes open in my living room. But that said, I do live on the sixth floor. Like, no one can see into my apartment. So that is kind of, like, a benefit that I have. It is a trend, these, like, glass apartments where everything is just windows. And I have a friend who's like looked into apartments there and just says like you just feel like you're in a fish tank.
Would you be terrified? You have a fear of heights in these tall buildings.
We're gonna get there when we get to this balcony. Okay. What is that balcony about? But we'll get there. So I wrote.
And really quickly before that though, Anthony mentions calling it New York Autumn Light by Halston, and I only mentioned that because. Are we out of Eternal Spring?
We are. We'll get there. We have passed into a new... No, it's good. We're going to get there. I did say that I would take Central Air over Crown Molding. So I do... That is my sort of back and forth on what kind of apartment I would like to be in. And Anthony says that he needs a new me as well and asks if she should use the realtor if she's too much of a top. Okay.
Which I love that line. But I was wondering if it's... Because like the Sex and the City... I wonder if like it went over some of the women's heads who watch Sex and the City.
I don't know.
You know, because me immediately like was like, oh yeah, Seema's totally a top. But like thinking like if some of the women are like, I wonder what that is. Also, I loved his line, out with the mold and in with the new. Like, why have we decided on that Carrie's beautiful apartment is just moldy? Because they, Seema points out one spot that has a little water damage and now her apartment is like a petri dish.
Well, but that was in response to the crown molding.
Oh, I thought he was talking about like the actual mold in the apartment.
No, I mean, I think that you could take it that way too, but she references that she has the crown molding in her old apartment and he says out with the mold, in with the new. So
yeah.
I see how that would go on both sides. Yeah. And then we're out on the balcony where there needs to be a railing. I've already fallen off this balcony like three times and I haven't even gone there. Like that balcony barely comes up to your knee.
Oh, there was. I thought maybe it was one of those like glass railings, but I guess there was nothing.
I did not see anything. I saw, and even when I like Google image these buildings, like that is what they look like to me. And that, yeah, that's too much. That's where my fear of heights would kick in.
Yeah. As Anthony calls it, You with a Terrace by Halston. Anthony's on a Halston kick today. I did for a few months stay on the 34th floor of an apartment this past year. And there were a couple times when I looked, like, I didn't open the windows. Like, there were times when I really should have opened the window because I was stuffy and I just couldn't do it because I was like, this is scary.
Yeah, I feel like those windows were at least, I didn't feel like I was going to fall out of it.
Okay.
I don't know. It's weird how different things affect me differently with heights. Like, I can go to the top of the Empire State Building and feel totally fine because there are bars there. But the one time that I went to the top of the Rock, I thought I was going to die.
Well, and there's that building, I think it's on, we pass it, we walk by 57th Street that you always just look at and, like, get really scared at.
Yeah, it's too tall. So Seema's on the phone in leopard print. It's cool. Her dad is asking about a new sari for Diwali. So as you were saying, Diwali takes place in the fall. It is usually, I want to say, either October or November. It's a 5-day thing, but it is in there. So it's funny that we sort of like zoomed past summer and we're already into the fall. So this series has already taken us, what would you say, like 9 months we've passed?
Well, and also I want to make it clear that in the previous episode, Carrie was to be in heels in 3 months. And at the end of the episode, she was in heels. So we are at least 3 months later. And I just bring that up because there's a few like moments where I'm wondering, are we actually 3 months later? This isn't one of them, but I should have said that in the beginning.
So Seema's dad is watching the Knicks. And Seema's mom needs to get her own profile on Netflix because Seema is getting too much Indian Matchmaker.
Yeah, my parents and I share a few streaming services. And sometimes I think my nieces and nephew are over because it'll be like, do you want to continue watching Curb Your Enthusiasm? Which is clearly my dad. But then it's like, what was it? They really were on a kick with dinosaurs, that show from the 90s. Like, not your mama, not your mama. And I was like, who's really into dinosaurs? And then it'll be like The Sopranos followed by Sesame Street. It's a very confused.
I like it. I like to think that that's all your dad, though.
Yeah, he's just sitting at home watching all of those things at once.
And he asks if she's smoking. Like, she says, I don't smoke. Oh.
But you can hear that on the phone.
Yeah, for sure.
It's interesting. Like when someone's smoking, you can usually hear like their, and you can hear the note, like you can hear it in their nose.
So Anthony's talking about hooking up with a trick. Can we quickly talk about this word?
Sure.
Because I remember when I was like 21 and living in Atlanta and someone mentioned a trick that they'd hooked up with. And it was my cousin Amanda, who says, I don't think she said outrageous, that's me putting your words in her mouth, but like somebody to the effect of like, it's insane that gay men refer to the people they've had sex with the same term that sex workers refer to their clients. It is a weird thing. Like, I wonder how trick became such a like normal term for gay men to use about sexual partners. And we don't have to get into it, but basically Anthony's rebounding, and then Seema asks if she's picked out a kayak. I don't know. I also wrote that the growl and the claws shouldn't work, but I feel like somehow they pull it off. Somehow these two actors know exactly the right amount to give it to like make it be kind of a cute little moment between the two of them.
Yeah, it's kind of, it reminded me of like a Karen and Jack moment.
Yeah, I can see that. So we get to three ladies at lunch and we find out that Carrie's the strongest swimmer. It's kind of a random piece of trivia to lay on us, but cool, thanks.
And I wouldn't know that out of my group of friends unless someone was like specifically a swimmer.
Right.
And I knew that they like went swimming at the gym. I can't imagine us sitting around at movie night and being like, well, Mike's the strongest swimmer.
Mike is the strongest swimmer. I'm an okay swimmer. And we talk about the breeze off the Hudson, which I do want to point out is very cold in the winter. Like, it sounds kind of nice in the summer, but in the winter, that would be a freezing, freezing cold apartment to be in. And she just sort of says, like, I don't love the apartment. And it's, yeah, so don't buy it. You have to love where you live. But she's already bought it.
Yeah, that was very interesting to me. Like, why did you buy it if you knew you didn't love it?
Well, and she seems to think that it's not the apartment's fault. It's her fault.
I don't know. I just thought, like, wouldn't Seema, but I guess she does bring it up that she drags Seema around for a long time.
Yeah, and sort of like, and the question is asked of what's wrong with staying who you are. I will say that once again, either Miranda or Cynthia Nixon is very good with the thank you whenever the server comes nearby.
Yeah.
Like, she's always on top of, like, the thanking of the server, which I think is very good.
Well, it could also be, like, I remember when I would do a musicale and I would, like, have a bit that I was like, this is what my character does. I would always look for everywhere in the show to, like, you know, put in that touch. So maybe that's what she did in the first episode.
Yeah.
But also I was thinking about Carrie, where she's at in her life, too, in this traumatic experience with losing her husband. She also probably just wanted to get it over with, like sign the contract and get a new place.
And once again, if she's sort of convincing herself that the apartment's not the problem, that she's the problem and that she can't be that person, and I love it so much.
But is it too comfortable, me living there?
Meaning?
Meaning, Am I living or just retreating? You know, I moved in when I was 29. I'm back at 55. I just cannot be one of those people who's like, I have lived in the same apartment for 25 years. My rent was $2.
Am I living or retreating? And I had that experience. You know, I was in this apartment before this one for almost 13 years. And I was like, am I going to die in this living room bedroom? That, I mean, my rent was really cheap, but it's like, come on.
Yeah, and living in the future is better or preferable to living in the past. And that this is where we get to, like, Anthony's already having sex with other men, but I don't think that ever stopped.
And I wrote, I want you to know this because I think it's funny, because I was trying to talk about Anthony and the comment made about the Hudson, and I just wrote, Anthony's having sex in the Hudson. Nope.
Maybe. We don't know.
Yeah, maybe. But my thing about Anthony, and I don't know if you've had this experience, but when I was sitting there, I was like, Anthony, what are you doing? Aren't you sad? And I remembered, like, oh, no, Stanford left Anthony for a TikTok star. But my brain is like, Willie Garson passed away.
Yeah.
Stanford passed away. Anthony should be in mourning as well, where I'm sure, right, like Mario Cantone and Sarah Jessica Parker were grieving the terrible loss of Willie Garson.
Sure.
It's Stanford is actually in Japan with a TikTok star.
Yeah. Stanford's just fine. He left. And we sort of end with, you can always just sell it or drown yourself in the Hudson.
Yeah, just two really, you know.
Whichever one works better in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have her at her old place reading and sort of saying this isn't healthy. But I don't know. I don't think it's not healthy.
What's not healthy? That she's just back in the old place?
Yeah. Yeah. I understand the point that's being made. I'm not disagreeing with it. But I'm like, Carrie, girl, just stay in your apartment. Like, don't force yourself. Sometimes you have to force change. And I don't think this is one of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to Lilia's glossing and Rock is eating toast in bed. And I do like Charlotte's, like, girls, kids.
Yeah, and I like that Rock immediately says, Lily did it too.
Yeah.
And then Charlotte makes a declaration of there is no more bedroom toast unless it's your birthday.
Yeah. And Rock wants to redecorate and get rid of the dolls, and they're culturally inappropriate.
The Madame Alexander International Collection.
Yes.
And it makes Lily's friends ashamed to come over. She's ashamed when her friends come over, which, I mean, I'm not a kid in 2022. So I don't know, but I thought that one was a little bit like, I can't imagine Lily's friends being like, I'm not coming here with those dolls.
I don't know. All that I'll say about that is that I did, on the discussion of the writers, they did talk about how, like, so much of your life as a parent is your kids telling you that things are inappropriate.
Yeah, I guess that's right, too. And I'm only thinking because I did have I had a Little Red Riding Hood Madame Alexander doll. And I remember when it was given to me, being told how important these are and, like, that they are expensive. Like, wow, that's not a Cabbage Patch. That is a Madame Alexander.
And Rock wants to get rid of the rose painting, which makes sense. Like, this whole moment of Charlotte, and I get what we're going with is Charlotte trying to deal with the change, but also kind of pushing against it. She wants to talk about it with more time because painting is a big commitment, is it?
Yeah, I don't really think it's a big commitment. I think Charlotte's just overwhelmed, but I was more surprised
definitely what it is.
That Rock and Lily don't have their own rooms.
Well, but it's the same apartment they've been in for all this time. Like, that. Remember, it was like that was the office or the nursery. I just think that that's how big the apartment is.
Yeah, and Lily and Rock are both at that age, I think, where, do you remember this? Like, you would, even my own room, where you would go to your friends' houses and you would think, like, oh, yeah, they haven't changed their room since they were 7, but now they're like 13.
Yeah.
And it does have those weird moments and those weird things in there. So,
yeah, the room in general could use an update.
Yeah, I actually really like Charlotte in this moment because she's not like saying no to anything. She's remaining open and teachable, but she's also just being a mom that's like, can we deal with this later?
Right. Yeah. And thank God for you, Richard Burton.
Mm-hmm.
And the shot of the dog is great.
And it is just Charlotte being Charlotte. Like, in this episode, we do see that these women are learning, but they're also the same women in a lot of ways. Like, the way they respond to things and their mannerisms are still the same.
So we're in a Che Miranda sex fantasy remembrance kind of thing, but Miranda's also in class and Naya snaps her out of it.
Yeah, okay. This like, I refer to this now as like Che Rambo, because I think anytime Miranda is stuck in these moments, she is no longer Miranda. There is no Miranda, only Rambo, only Zool, only Rambo, because she becomes a different person. But also, yeah, what is this flashback? It reminds me of that song from Rent where it's like sex, sex. What's that song called?
I don't know Rent well enough. I know what song you're talking about.
Yeah, where it's like breathing.
Annabelle's singing
hot,
it right
hot.
Now.
Yeah.
Annabelle knows it.
Yeah. It's like hot sex. And that's it reminds me of that and like the headshots from the early 2000s that everyone was getting with the all white background.
Gotcha. Yeah. And you want to grab some coffee and we're in a park. I do not know what park this is. I kind of tried to look it up. I actually think this might be a park that's out in Queens that I once filmed in, but I don't 100% know. But we're talking about a renovation of a shelter, and I do love that we catch a leaping rat. Did that stand out
for
you?
I didn't see that, no.
Yeah, it happens really fast, but I'm like, yep, that's a park in New York.
Their coffees are from Joe's Coffee, I can tell you that much.
And she's teaching a full slate and spearheading a home for displaced women and children, so what am I doing with my life, I wrote.
Making a podcast about Sex in the City?
That's fine. Yeah, Miranda's looking at pictures on Naya's phone and Andre calls, and there's a casual dinner with Andre's wife and Fertile Myrtle.
Fertile Myrtle, who is a friend of Naya's who can get pregnant very easily and loves to talk about it.
Yeah, she's had 2 babies in 3 years, and every conversation is about babies, but I do want to say, to her credit, if you had 2 babies in 3 years, probably most conversations would be about your children. Like, I don't think that's actually crazy.
Yeah, you have nothing else to really talk about.
Right, but we do discover that Naya went through the second round of IVF and it didn't take. And I do like Miranda's thing of like, since when are you shy?
Right.
But I get that everyone has their kryptonite. Everyone has their thing. Doesn't matter how strong you are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here doing a podcast and I'll tell you everything about my life on this podcast, but I hate bartending because I get really shy around people and like making small talk.
Oh, for sure. I'm the worst at small talk, especially in that environment. So we get to Seema and Carrie and welcome to my Soho. We're at a sari shop. This is a real shop. Yeah, Carrie basically wants to know everything about this holiday. It's about the triumph of light over dark.
Well, she also didn't really want to know about it until she saw the clothes.
Okay, well, that's just where the scene started.
Right, but that's also very Carrie. She's like, these outfits, I need to know everything.
And we sort of refer to Seema's parents having hit the arranged marriage lottery. And has Seema ever considered an arranged marriage?
And she doesn't even let the sommelier, I can never say that word, sommelier, we had the whole thing about how we Google words and I still can't say this one, pick out her wine.
Yeah, and she, the whole like, if you have to convince yourself to love someone, and I just wrote, Carrie has definitely never ziplined or been in a rainforest.
But she has, she lost that shoe.
That had never happened. I don't know what she's talking about.
That sounds like a new rom-com though, love and ziplining.
Yeah, and Seema's attending another family Diwali alone, but doesn't have to be.
No.
Yeah, Carrie kind of invites herself along and let's get you a sari, and is that allowed? And I do want to talk quickly about cultural appropriation versus cultural appreciation, because mm-hmm. I like that term.
Cultural appreciation.
Yeah. And I understand in general the difference. I do think sometimes we get a little wrapped up in certain terms and certain, like, something's inappropriate because it's appropriation versus sometimes you just like something and you're like, oh, I like that and I would like to participate in that. And I think there should be, like, a certain amount of, like, understanding and research involved. But I don't know. Do you have any feelings on that?
Well, I think in this moment, Carrie was saying, is it okay that I wear a sari to, you know, your family celebration? And Seema saying, of course you would.
I just think about when the pictures first emerged of Carrie dressed as she's going to be later on in the episode. And there was a certain amount of like uproar on the internet of like, this is inappropriate. And I kind of want to be like, can we have some context? Like, I just feel like some people have to be mad about everything. And it's that thing of like, can we just like wait and see what the context is before we decide to get mad about something.
Now, I will say that when Carrie emerges, she is not in a sari. And a lot of the outfits in that store are not actually saris.
Sure,
and that
yes.
was, there was an article on the internet that I was reading about that in general, and that Carrie's actually in a lehenga, which is different from a sari. And that was, there was some discussion about that. And you can read that. The thing about this podcast and the show now is there are so much information coming out about it that it would be impossible for me to say like, go find this article or this article. But there is a lot about her exact outfit. And I had a roommate who was invited to a Diwali celebration once and he went to the store to, you know, and had someone help him buy all the right things. And
yeah, I mean, a lot of this is based on Michael Patrick King, who was invited to a Diwali a few years ago and had similar experiences. But we'll get more to that as we go along. And because I do like that Carrie already has one that she's culturally appreciated, which, of course, you are right. She saw the outfit and then was like, how can I get that outfit on?
Right.
So we get to Carrie's storage space and we're sort of like, what is the goal for today? And it's just to find a few things to take to her new place. And she's looking at her apartment as an arranged marriage. She's going to learn to love it. She's dating her new apartment. She got a bed delivered. I like Charlotte's pink box cutters.
Yeah, Charlotte has a collection of box cutters with her at all times. Carrie's just doing this all to get the hot pretzel, which there's better things in New York to reward yourself with than one of those hot pretzels. They're pretty stale. And Carrie's storage unit is bigger than my apartment.
Yeah, it's giant. It's so large. And she just sort of wants to Marie Kondo's it. And Carrie thinks they should aim for not sad. Like, it's not going to be about sparking joy. And I wrote, that crazy yellow lamp apparently doesn't make her sad.
Nope. Conrad's 1988.
Listen, I tried to look this up. Conrad's 1988 lamp, which just took me to the Jewish Museum. Like, I don't fully understand what this lamp is about. If anyone has more information, feel free to share it. I think it's crazy looking, but I guess it's kind of Carrie.
Yeah, the only thing I can see is that there's like a Conrad's hotel. So I don't know if Carrie stole it from the hotel.
Yeah, maybe. I saw that too. Like, there's a certain designer. Yeah, it's very strange. I'd like to understand more, but it's fine. And sort of like, if I were Sheets, where would I be?
And I was just thinking that may be something that I'm surprised she didn't repurchase or buy new, just in general. Like,
yeah.
And not even just because of the situation with Big. I'm just saying, I just had an experience where I had to move a lot of my stuff into a storage unit. And when I was in between apartments, and I think Sheets were the one thing that I was like, you know what, I'm going to donate these ones and get some new ones. If you're buying a new bed, might as well get some new sheets.
New sheets. Let's start afresh. And we find her favorite sun hat, which is now Survival. And then we open Big's records.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that moment, you know, when Charlotte wants to know what she can do. And I like that in this moment, Charlotte says, what can I do, but doesn't have to do anything.
Right.
I feel like Charlotte has learned that sometimes Carrie just needs to go through it. And she's just going to stand back and let her have this moment. And I said, they sure are getting their money worth with that Hello It's Me song.
Yeah, it just keeps
every episode.
Like, you know what, we paid the rights for this and we are gonna use it as much as we can.
That's 100% what I think.
I did write on here, Mike was my Charlotte, because this happened for me. Like, when I moved into my apartment, and you know, at the time I was like going through some stuff, and you just kind of sat there and were like, what can I do to help? And I was like, I don't know. And then you put together my TV stuff.
Yeah. That's kind of what I have to offer in those situations. Let me put something together for you.
Yeah, let me set up your TV. And you did all that, which was very helpful.
Well, thank you and you're welcome. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte may have to do a test run here. And maybe they've done enough, but Carrie can't leave with with just a hat and a lamp. So she grabs a pan.
A cast iron skillet.
Uh-huh.
Just something very lightweight.
Yeah, exactly. I have a partner.
I have a partner, too.
I think we have the same partner.
That's awkward.
It's not, because it's HelloFresh.
HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. They deliver all the ingredients you need with the recipe cards and make it super simple so you can make super delicious recipes. They also deliver the pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying, which is a burden on the planet and your wallet, and is super helpful when you have a mini fridge and a tiny Upper East Side studio.
Also, I love the variety. They have veggie varieties, they have calorie smart, they have family friendly, gourmet options. Honestly, the box arrived yesterday and I cooked something right away. I made the figgy balsamic pork with roasted carrots and thyme potatoes. And here's the thing. Anyone that knows me knows that I can get a little overwhelmed. And when I first opened the box, I will totally confess that I thought, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to make this kind of food. I just followed the instructions and it was perfect.
Yeah. And when I opened the box, I was expecting to just see ingredients rolling around. And that's not the case with HelloFresh. Each recipe is individually packaged to make it super simple. So you just open the bag and everything you need is right there. Go to HelloFresh.com/WCHBW16 and use code WCHBW16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Once again, that's HelloFresh.com/WCHBW16 and use code WCHBW16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. And once you get your HelloFresh and make it, share a picture with us. Tag us on social media. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
So we're back in the glass apartment and not too much salt. I feel like we're sort of recreating that meal that we had in the first episode.
Yeah, and also I liked that in this scene, because the apartment's white, the only real pops of color you see are the 3 items she took from the storage unit.
Correct. Very well chosen to like bring some color into the apartment. And then the beeping starts and she tries to cancel the dishwasher.
Yeah, she's like, how does this happen? You know, this has happened in my apartment, though. There is a beeping coming from somewhere in this apartment that's been going on for months. And I think it's like an important beep, like not like something needs to be replaced, but I think it's just like a sensor or something, and it doesn't bother me, but I'm like, when is this gonna stop?
Yeah, I've had the same thing where I have a very long hallway and there'll be a beeping that I'll just like walk and stop and then walk some more and then stop. Have not ever found the beeping.
Well, and the worst thing about it reminds me of when you have the stomach virus and you throw up and you're like, I feel so great. And then you have to throw up again. And you're like, this is the worst. Like, that's how the beeping is, because it'll stop for a second. You're like, yes, I figured it out. And then it just comes right back again.
So the phone rings and it's Anthony. He needs a favor. There's a consultation for his and his facelifts. And is it too late for me to not pick up the phone?
Yeah.
That was funny.
And did he must have called from his work phone because she didn't know who it was.
Yeah, must be. And Anthony says the beeping is always the dishwasher.
And then I wrote, hot fellas are dumb.
Yeah, dumb guy drops bread is what I wrote. And there's no 5-second rule, like, yeah. You know.
And I just thought of, like, Marie, the baguettes, hurry up.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
And, you know, could the beeping be in the refrigerator? And I like the reference to, like, I'm not going to play Clue, the kitchen edition.
Yeah, he just tells her to slam it, to hit it. Which, to be honest, sometimes that is.
Oftentimes
how you
that
fix
is.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a first generation iPod, like the one that actually had the thing that spun on the inside of it.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it wouldn't work and I would just hit it really hard and it would work again.
Yeah, and basically, like, you don't need a facelift, and tell that to the 30-year-old who called me daddy last night and not ready to be a daddy. He wants to be the hot, slightly older guy. And I also want to just be like, someone calling you daddy doesn't necessarily have to do that. That's a whole separate thing.
Yeah. Someone called our friend daddy the other day and he's like just turned 30 and wears like Pokemon blouses.
That's awful. Don't ever anyone call me that. And she thinks she turned off the AC, which is bad because she lives on the surface of the sun.
Ugh, that would be the nightmare for Mike. That's you and I recording in your bedroom during a heat wave.
Awful. Yeah. And we have a dude looks like a lady reference.
Yeah. And what Anthony says is, to paraphrase Steven Tyler, dudes who look like a lady. That's not paraphrasing. That's actually making Steven Tyler's phrase longer than what it is.
Yeah. And she slams the dishwasher again.
Didn't work.
Yeah. So we're out to dinner and Myrtle is trying to bring up something that happened last night. And Naya is talking about a shoe factory that used to be in the space. It's a very weird, like, I don't know. Like, she doesn't even know what she's going to say, but she keeps shutting her down.
Yeah. Naya's like, Miranda told me what to do and I'm going to do it.
And mojitos are mentioned and Myrtle isn't drinking. Why are you pregnant again?
Yeah.
It's good. It's very well played.
Well, and this is actually at the White Hotel. It's in Brooklyn. This is Le Crocodile, the restaurant. It was not a shoe factory. It was actually a barrel factory.
Oh, okay.
In the early 1900s.
Get your facts straight, Naya.
Yeah. Eater has done this really cool article that you can look up, because I find this one interesting in general, that just tells you exactly where they're eating in every episode. And they, no spoilers, so they've only got up to Diwali. Yeah, and you can tell that Myrtle is cautious about this. Like, from what Naya was talking about Fertile Myrtle in the park, I thought that she was going to be picking out baby names at the table and being, like, so excited. And you can tell that she's aware of what Naya's going through.
Yeah, I actually wrote, first of all, Naya seems genuinely happy for their friends who are pregnant again. And I'm like, Robert is the one that tells them they got to get going. And Myrtle is the one who shuts it down. Myrtle is the one that seems especially sensitive to it. And the whole, like, it's never a good time and it's always a good time. But it's Robert who says, a couple like you, you gotta have babies.
Right.
And I'm like, Robert, no.
You're the problem.
Yeah, 100%. So we get to night in the glass house and the beeping continues. And Carrie goes to call the front desk, I guess, which is when we learn that she's in 5D, which I don't know if I buy that. That looks way more than 5 stories up.
Well, and my bigger question about all this is, has she been eating that salmon the whole day?
Yeah. It's a very slow cooked salmon or something like that.
Yeah, like no time has passed with that salmon. She's just been munching on it all day in that apartment.
And can you send maintenance and the morning will be fine? That's kind of all there.
Yeah, and in those fancy apartments, you can just call the front desk.
So we cut to Miranda in bed with a strange buzzing noise.
Yeah, Rambo dream sequence.
And, you know, it does occur to me later on that this is the only way in which we see Sada in this episode.
Mm.
This is their only appearance are on these two little fantasy moments, which I think is interesting. And she's just remembering, and Brady is there. And what is his last name? I feel we've had a brief conversation about this, but is his name Brady Brady now?
I think it's all, I mean, if I was Brady, I would say,
just
Mom,
keep the Hobbs.
Yeah, we're just keeping the Hobbs. Like, for the kids' sake, just like, keep the Hobbs. And just turn it off, Miranda.
Yeah.
Just turn it off. Like, you, and also when Brady says, I'm going to go hang out with Louisa, just say, okay.
Bye.
You don't have to say, you have a math tutor in the morning.
I wrote that she frantically reminds him that he has a math tutor in the morning. Yeah. And then we cut to Naya and Andre. And, you know, the whole idea of, like, if that didn't put a baby in me, I don't want to do the other thing, which I think is her sort of, like, fun, sexy way of saying, like, I think that I'm done with the IVF.
Right. And I have a question about, because you're always better at this stuff when it comes to, like, screen pictures. The way that they are having sex when this scene opens and he has his hands on her boobs, do you think that was intentional to, like, cover?
Yes.
Okay.
Because there's even a moment later on, and I did not, like, pause and frame by frame it, but I feel like we would have seen more of her bosom.
Right.
And we don't, and I feel like there's a little bit of CGI that we went into it. There are certain, like, contractual things of, like, right. I will show this, but I won't show that.
Right.
And I do 100% think that that is what this is.
Yeah, because it just caught me as, like, a moment. I was like, oh, that's, okay, I wonder if, like, that was my first thought when I saw that happen.
Yeah, and Naya reveals that she's been avoiding the subject, and Andre says that she never needs to be nervous that he's got her. And I like that. That's a nice couple moment where it's like,
it's me.
It's me. Yeah, it's just us. I liked it. So it's the next morning and the beeping is still going and this isn't working.
I thought earplugs would have been more helpful than the sunglasses, but...
Probably. She is. I'm sure that she's been wearing her ring the whole time, but I noticed in this scene, I could see her. I really very much noticed her wedding band.
Oh, I didn't. Okay.
Yeah. So we're at the doctor's office with Carrie and Anthony, and I wrote cutie cutie Jonathan Groff comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Spring Awakening is what I think was his first big thing. And he was on Glee. He was in a TV show called Looking. He's in Frozen. He's in Hamilton. A lot of mixes of musical theater and television that he's done.
Yeah.
And he assumes that Carrie's the one with the appointment.
Yeah. And she's like, no, we're doing him today.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, treats for you, Anthony.
And I was sort of like, he blames the receptionist and Oberlin. Like, I don't know. You still assume that it was the lady. I don't know. I don't know that we can actually blame the receptionist.
Yeah. And also, like, is that saying, like, she's, like, a free-thinking woman and he's not going to be able to say anything to her? Like, I didn't understand that.
Well, I will say that I took the note of Oberlin is the oldest coeducational liberal arts college in the United States and the second oldest continuously operating coeducational institution of higher learning in the world. A little Oberlin information for everyone out there. Hmm. And Dr. Hottie says that Anthony doesn't need a facelift, but maybe some Botox.
Yes.
Your number 11s are reading 12.
Hello, 12. Hello, 13. Hello, Botox.
And you're hot.
Yeah, and then he, like, smacks the side of his ass as if he's, like, a steed.
Yeah, it's...
The way he does it. And then the thing I found interesting about it was, this is a consultation. So he goes there, he says, no, you don't need this. You've got those good Italian genes. Actually, you probably just need a little Botox. Anthony doesn't sign any papers. He doesn't say yes, even. And Jonathan Groff just, like, wheels over to the Botox desk to start prepping the needles.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a question about that, too. And then Carrie asks about her number 11s and explains this isn't how she usually looks. And you look a little tired. You may be interested in a little refresh.
Maybe a half lift.
Yeah, maybe a half lift. And he guesses her age is 48 or 49. And I do think it's funny that she makes the point of, like, he's years older than me. And yes, he is 6 years older than SJP. I didn't even realize.
Well, we find out that Mother Nature and Instagram are more difficult on women. And, you know, this is so true because I was talking to a friend the other day about, you know, I've talked about wanting to get Botox and I'm still thinking about it just because I do have some lines that I don't love. But I was talking to a friend about, like, eyelash extensions, and a lot of girls want to get those because when they wake up, they want to look ready. They want to look like they see the girls on Instagram look. Like, that's what I hear over and over again. And it's these filters, and it's just, I find myself doing it too.
Yeah. It's easy to get caught up in it. And he takes a 3D image of her before and after and is saying that you're fabulous, but also then says that, like, as faces age, you break down into hollowers or saggers. I hope that I'm a hollower.
I mean, I thought of this. I think I'm definitely a sagger. Like, I am too.
I'm certainly going to be a sagger.
Well, we need to talk about the great and powerful Carrie, right? Like, this is such an Oz-like sequence with her face. And the memes have been made, but it was also the first thing that I saw when I saw this. It was like that Wicked moment.
Right. Yeah. And she has options. There's fillers. There's lasers. There's face and neck lifts. And this is just an old picture of her. Like, I don't think that it's actually possible to make that face look like that face.
Yeah, we see season one Carrie.
That's all that it is. They just took a different picture.
It looks like Single and Fabulous Carrie from that episode.
I can see that, yeah. Work shows. I get that there's also good work, but work always shows.
Yeah, it's like a math problem from the 90s. Show your work. And she mentions a drive-by facelift, and I want to say, Carrie, you asked. Like,
yeah.
He didn't just roll over and be like, now you.
And with the right work and the right touch, the last 15 years are gone. And we end with how much? So we get to three ladies at a picnic. I believe that we're in Battery Park City now.
Yeah, we are in Battery Park City. Is that what you think?
Yes, I'm fairly certain we are, which is a little south of where her apartment is, but close enough. And Carrie wonders if it's worth the money. And Miranda does the, like, where did this thing come from? But still says that society pressures women to get work. So it's a little bit of both, that she recognizes that one's face does change as one ages.
Yeah, and she is in two plaids, and the tablecloth is also in plaid. There's a lot of plaid there, which made me think, Miranda, when you go to a picnic from now on, maybe rethink your outfit choices, because I was brought back to when she wears like the coat under the hat,
right,
where she looks like the beekeeper. Yeah. Love Charlotte's top, though.
There's Charlotte saying that there's nothing wrong with a little filler and Botox. And I was like, okay, is this acknowledging that she's had some filler and Botox? But that's as close as we get to the acknowledgement.
Well, I mean, in the real world, Kristen Davis has gone out and like publicly made a couple statements about people and the aging process towards women.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do agree with Charlotte, though. I agree with I agree with everyone's comments here.
Yeah, and Carrie's putting things on pause for now. And this is where we do discover that Miranda is officially not drinking.
And I hope that they explore this more, not because like I have a personal investment with this because I'm a sober person, but just the way Charlotte's like, well, because it's been 3 months at least, right?
Right.
So it's amazing how you've just been able to stop cold turkey. And I just hope that they talk about it more for a few reasons, because I thought it was really great that they brought it up, and that it would be a little bit more difficult for Miranda than probably just dumping it down the drain. And also that I feel like they're kind of jumping around a bit. Like, we haven't talked at all about Carrie's hip surgery she just had, like that there's been anything from that. And I just feel like there's a lot of story moments where it's like, okay, so what are we doing with that? Like, is this the only time we're going to mention that this thing that we talked about for the first 5 episodes is now just done?
I don't think that we will, but I think this is also the effects of having a series that seems to be going through an entire year of their life.
Okay.
Rather than in the past where we had like 12 episodes that covered approximately 12 weeks. Like, we really did see from a day-to-day perspective, whereas this, like, we are jumping 3 months forward. I think we'll have more. I'm certain that we're not done with the topic. I'm certain that there's more to come with it. But I think that that's sort of what you get when you're like, well, every episode's going to jump forward in time a bit. So.
Well, and Miranda does, you know, in recovery, they say that with addiction, it's like having 4 trash cans and like 3 lids that, you know, you put a lid on one and then another one pops up. So with Miranda, the lid for obsessive masturbation has popped up.
And I did write, where is Steve?
Yeah, we don't know.
I don't know. We haven't seen him in a while, but I'd be curious to get his take on some of this. And Charlotte wants to know who Miranda's been fantasizing about and totally gets that it's Che.
Yeah.
Because she had a sex dream about Che after the comedy concert.
I wasn't gonna say it. I promised last week. I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done talking about comedy concert. I think comedy concert is the fourth lady at this point. Like, it's, I even shared, because I thought I was alone in this, and then I shared a tweet that my very friend, funny friend Michael Hartney wrote, where he was like, comedy concert is having an arc in this show, because I'm glad someone else picked up on it. But I had to, because now Charlotte's saying it. So it's like they are living in a different world where it is eternally spring and the term comedy concert is just thrown around at all times.
Perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
And I do like that all that she could remember of the sex dream is they were on a ferry. And I don't remember anything other than that. And Miranda says hers is a replay. And this is where she tells Charlotte.
Yeah, it's not a fantasy. And she says to Charlotte, like, I'm going to tell you something and you're going to have a strong reaction. And I have to say that, like, I don't think Charlotte is having a reaction. I don't think that Charlotte's having a bad reaction. I think Charlotte's having a Charlotte reaction.
She's having a Charlotte reaction. And I honestly, I think we're going to get there. It isn't just about this. I think Charlotte is just dealing with all of the change and it's having a hard time with it. She says that it calls it an affair, which I'm not actually sure it's an affair.
Yeah.
And that it's not judgment, it's surprise. And Miranda doesn't want to focus group this. And they're sort of like, we have that moment of like, we talk about everything. And Carrie makes a joke and Charlotte thinks she's trying to make it nothing. But I think it's just Carrie. Like, she's going to make a joke in the middle of all of this. That makes sense to me.
And she's like, are you going to say something? And Carrie's like, cheese.
Yeah. And the comment about the Senate. And, you know, that big dying is something. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't know what this is. And are you gay now? And no, I don't know. And Che made Miranda feel alive. And Charlotte says she's not progressive enough for this.
Yeah. And I have here, you know, when Miranda says, I don't even know what it is yet. once again, I thought, it's been 3 months. So I don't know if nothing has happened. I mean, we find out later that obviously nothing has happened between Miranda, Rambo, and Che yet. But it has been 3 months, and it isn't an affair. It's a finger.
Yeah.
Which I just wanted to remember that quote just to pull out at some point in my life. Big dying is something. This, I don't know what this is. And I thought in this moment, this is probably very important to Miranda. Like Carrie saying that big, like, was essentially saying, like, big dying is something. I don't know what this is. Kind of making light of the situation. And yes, you know, it was Miranda getting finger banged in the kitchen by Che. Rambo and Che had their activity in the kitchen. Sure. And we can, like, joke about it and make the memes. However, to Miranda Hobbs, this woman in her 50s, this is huge. This is her rethinking every romantic decision she's made in her life. This is her finally, you know, saying, this is me. Cue the instrumental. I am what I am. Like, this is a huge moment for Miranda. And I think that's where we see the conflict here is I think Charlotte sees it as someone who really doesn't care. Like, she doesn't care about the fact that Miranda had sex with a non-binary person. That's not the issue to Charlotte. Charlotte's like, you just cheated on your husband.
Yeah. Well, a thing that let's look back to a movie that, you know, was their life not that long ago, where the conflict was the opposite, where mm-hmm. Steve had a one night stand and that mm-hmm. almost blew up their marriage, which I think is a lot of people's most difficult issue with this storyline
mm-hmm.
is that, like, how could Miranda do this thing that she knows is so hurtful because it was done to her?
Mm-hmm. I think what maybe have been more... make more sense to a lot of people is the Miranda and Che storyline not have gone to the sexual place. If it was Miranda talking about these feelings out loud, Miranda maybe even talking about them with Steve, Miranda getting an open relationship, like who knows where it could have gone. But I think the affair is what is kind of throwing people yeah, for a loop.
I agree.
Do you think that Miranda and Steve will have like a meet me again on the Brooklyn Bridge, or will like will it be a Che and Rambo on the Queensboro Bridge? Who knows?
I don't know. And we have a very Sex and the City thing where now Miranda's getting up to leave, but her leg is asleep. And I, you know, it can be mean, it can be funny, but like you're having a midlife crisis, you should have just dyed your hair.
Miranda, stop. Miranda, stop. Come on, stop, stop, stop. We already lost Samantha. I'm not losing anyone else. People are gone. Like in a second. You can disagree, but you can't leave.
I'm sorry. I want to understand.
Well, when you do, maybe you can explain it to me.
It's not only you. What is wrong with people just staying who they were?
And I think that's where we get a bigger glimpse into, like, this isn't about one thing for Charlotte. Mm-hmm. This is about everyone changing. Mm-hmm. And Carrie has her moment of some of us don't have that luxury.
Yeah, which I love that line, actually, because it shows the selfishness in the, like, why can't you stay who you were, right? Like, Miranda staying who she was obviously isn't Miranda at her full self. The same with Rock staying who they were isn't, you know, Rock being who Rock was. Like, Charlotte has had this privileged existence of being able to be this cis, straight, white woman who is fine to stay who she was. And when you were talking about the leg falling asleep, what I immediately thought of was that Valentine's Day date where Miranda keeps trying to get up and she gets caught in the...
Yeah.
It's funny, at work, we always do these streamers hanging from the ceiling for New Year's Eve. And one of our coworkers was like, oh, this reminds me of the Sex and the City episode. I think it was New Year's Eve. And I was like, nope, it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Where she tries to get up and she keeps... I was like, that is one thing I do know.
So we get to Carrie emerging from her place, done up for the Diwali mm-hmm. celebration, and Seema's smoking. And then we get to the parents' house. And I took until this moment to look this up because I was like, this actor is so familiar to me. And his name is AJ Mehta. Once again, hoping I'm saying that right. And I was like, oh, right. He was on The Good Place and he was on The Mindy Project. And he also was once a busboy who told Samantha she would never have to feel alone again.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
I only knew this because I get all the Instagram messages and a lot of our listeners sent me that.
Yeah, I was definitely I was like, all right, I guess we're just going to go with this as a different character. Because if we want to live in the world where like somehow that all, yeah.
I mean, I think that like only super fans would really recognize him. And also it probably was like a Sex and the City casting choice to be like, we like this actor. We like working with him.
Yeah,
it's kind of fun.
Sure.
Like an Easter eggy fun to bring this person back.
Yeah, and they're so glad that Seema invited a friend And the parents want to know about Dennis, who is very busy with Doctors Without Borders. And Carrie plays along, and basically, like, I think that Seema is such a magnificent woman that, like, you know, it would be hard for her to find someone good enough for her. And basically, you can do better than Dennis, which I think that she means.
Is Dennis fat?
Yeah. Dennis isn't real. So we're in the cab, and it's sort of that thing of, like, it's just easier. And, well, is it easier for them, or is it easier for you? And are you actually happy with your life alone? And most times she is, and other times it's wishful thinking, which gets Carrie to just come out and say it. I hate the new apartment.
Yeah.
And it's like, then we'll sell it.
Then we'll sell it.
Yeah, we'll sell it. You have to love where you are, which isn't the, I thought it was going to be the exact line that Miranda had said earlier of you have to love where you live, but it's close enough. I think that we're sort of mirroring each other here. And Seema made him white so that her parents wouldn't be too disappointed when they break up.
And this is such a two women with a lot of money moment because.
Oh, sure.
In the real world, like. Thought. If you were like, I mean, this happened to a friend of ours who did not love where they lived, and it wasn't this easy as like, all right, well then tomorrow we'll get something else and it'll be exactly what you want.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's definitely a very privileged moment. We'll get you new, we'll fix it, yeah. And then Seema ties a red band around Carrie's wrist, and I did try to look this up a little bit more, and I couldn't really find anything satisfying because it kept taking me to like the Kabbalah wristband.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to know more about this. I know that this is also a moment that is reflective of Michael Patrick King in real life, that someone tied this red band around his wrist. And I tried to do research, and I wish I knew more. If anyone knows more about what this really, they talk about what it symbolizes.
Yeah, but Hindu
I wish that I knew more about it. I would like to know more about this. So if anyone knows more, let me know.
Yeah, because I know that it's a Kabbalah. There is a Kabbalah reference with the red.
That's the one that I know. That's the one that I know more because, you know, Madonna.
Right.
So Carrie's in her bathroom and she has her Carrie necklace. And it's interesting because we have the "and just like that, I remembered how much I loved the last 15 years," which you then think the episode's over. And instead, we get to have a post "and just like that" montage where the records are up on the shelf and "I Can See Clearly Now" starts playing. And Carrie opens a box of suits and takes out a tux.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte is putting the dolls away. And Rock is redecorating and has a shorter haircut. And Miranda is folding Steve's underwear, but also DMs Che, because I guess that's how we communicate with each other now.
Well, that's what Che said to do.
Yeah. So 3 months later.
Right. That's what this was the big 3 months later moment. Has Rambo and Che have not had any communication in 3 months? Like, nothing has happened, I guess.
I feel like that would have been a choice on Miranda's part. I wonder if for Miranda, she was like, I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to try to get a clearer head. I'll deal with this later. And maybe she feels like she's ready to deal with it now.
Yeah. Steve's underwear did look a little blown out, which I appreciated.
Yeah. And Carrie comes down the stairs in her red flowery dress with Big's cummerbund around her waist, which I liked that little touch.
And is this an outfit or we've seen before? Because it felt very old school Carrie, like the hair and everything.
It did feel old school Carrie, but I think it's a new outfit. Okay. I don't think we've actually seen this, but I think it's supposed to make you feel like you've seen it.
Okay.
And then I wrote, she opens up the door and is swallowed by the sun.
Yeah. I said, Carrie, where are you going?
Yeah, the white light takes over and the song transitions into a song called Clearly. And I'd heard this before, and so I wanted to do a little bit of looking into it. This is an artist whose name is Grace Vanderwall. She's 14 years old singing this song. And if you watch the music video of it, it takes place, I believe, in her actual house where she lived when she was 14, which was located in Suffern.
Aiden's daughter. I did read something that's like, when is Aiden going to be back? I was like, I don't know.
I don't think.
As soon as he's done opening his turquoise shop somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I also like that Charlotte, you know, she did compromise with the girls on the Madame Alexander dolls, but she's like, I'm sticking to it, though. Painting is a big commitment, so we're just going to put a poster over that rock.
It's just not. Just paint. Just repaint. Yeah. She's not, like, Charlotte's going to be the one repainting. It's really, you're just going to tell someone to do it. Yeah, I couldn't help but wonder why she's so opposed to painting. That's my couldn't help but wonder.
I couldn't help but wonder what Conrad's 1988 is. And I guess I'll have to figure that out a bit more.
Yeah, honestly, like, I tried. I looked things up. I tried to figure it out.
You know, but Sex and the City has no problem. Sometimes they are so good at like over explaining things, and sometimes they just drop something and you're like, what is that? Clown table. right? Like, how long
have
we looked for a clown table? Where is the clown table? I couldn't help but wonder when she's going to unpack that clown. I think it's in one of those boxes.
I don't know. I think it's gone. I think that Louise threw it out.
What would you do if you were at, like, a prop sale at, you know, the studios and they had that clown? I would buy it. How much would you pay for it? If they had it there.
I don't know that I'd pay that much, but if it was cheap enough, I would probably buy it.
Like, would you pay as much as a Diptyque candle?
I'm poor. Sure.
Which are like $80, by the way. They're not...
Yeah. They're not crazy expensive.
But it's too expensive for a candle.
It's too expensive. Too expensive for my blood.
Yeah.
So next week's episode, Sex and the Widow. Very curious to see what happens there. I don't watch any of the next time ons, so there's every chance people... Well, first of all, when you listen to this, the episode will be out by... the episode of the TV series will be out by then, so you'll know much more. But I'm very curious to see what's going to happen next week.
Yeah, me too. Well, I did see something. I did see her talk to a therapist, I think, or something.
Don't spoil it, Elise.
Sorry.
All right, back next week. Bye.
Bye.
For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend, take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe, and let's all take care of each other. We'll be back next week with Sex and the Widow.
Yes, it is a real shop in... No, she says, welcome to... Oh, sorry. Like, sorry is in my apologies. That's what I meant to say. You
clever. Naya sort of reveals that she's been avoiding the subject... Avoiding the subject.
I might be getting COVID right now. Hold on. I'll keep you posted.
All right, I'm going to stop recording.